I've always heard that silence is the worst thing in a Baptist church. You ever notice that? Especially when you're trying to get something to work. It seems to take the longest. Sound system goes down, everything's dead quiet, and it takes forever to get things back to rolling, doesn't it? But it's... That's right. The only time you ever notice a sound man is when something goes bad. Have you ever noticed that? But let's turn over to page number 139. Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me. Page 139, and let's sing At Calvary. Everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found me.
On the last,
oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burden's all found.
Church, you can be seated. Choir, remain standing. And let's do another one. How about page 125? Page 125, He Keeps Me Singing.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet.
Now,
soon He's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my
choir. You can be seated. It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. What a great time we had this morning. A great service and a great moving of the Holy Spirit. We're always thankful for that. Amen. But it's good to see you back here this evening. Please remember all the prayer requests that were given, especially Miss Lucille Turner and Brother Snyder and the family. Just lift them up in prayer, and let's just give them some just a little space of grace and let them spend time with their family and their mom. And I know what they really need, and that is our prayers. So maybe dropping a card in the mail will be okay, but not a lot of calls and texts and things such as that is what they're asking for. So just let's give them that and just lift them up in prayer. And I know that Brother Snyder would do the same for us if we were going through a time like this. So please do remember them in prayer. Other prayer requests that were given this morning, please remember all of those. Don't forget about Jubilee right around the corner, starting March the 2nd through the 6th, Sunday morning through Thursday evening. It'll be a great time and a great week, and we're looking forward to it. And the Lord's got some great things in store for us. Go ahead and put it down on your calendar. Go ahead and start inviting folks. I have. I'm sure you have as well. And let's see if we can feel the house of the Lord during that week of Jubilee. But let's just ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Pray for Pastor. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the offering and the service. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
a blessing. We appreciate each and every one of you. Just want to also say, if you're visiting with us tonight, you are our special guest, and I hope you get a blessing by being here with us in the service tonight. And got a special before preaching time this evening, and I asked the girls if they would sing one. So you please pray for them as they try to be a blessing to you. All right, girls.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled, there was Jesus. The life I built came crashing to the ground. When the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment of where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
On the mountain, in the valleys,
there was Jesus.
In the shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
Jesus, he's always there, isn't he? Bible says, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. I haven't always been there for him, but he's always been there for me, and he's been there for you as well. What a blessing tonight. Good to be here. Good to see everybody. And I wonder if there's anybody here ready to take a mission trip tonight. Anybody ready to go on a mission trip tonight? We're going to follow Paul on his second missionary journey. Mention some things here. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18, if you would. I want to say while you're turning there, this is certainly going to be an educational message tonight, but also I would like to look at some practical things out of here, if I could, applying to our lives as well. So we'll do our best to apply and educate this evening. And I want to say that I appreciate the Lord this morning and the preaching liberty that we had, and speaking on the subject of worship. And what a blessing. Again, Miss Lucy coming to join this morning, the fellowship. And even the widow and widower's Valentine's luncheon after church was a tremendous blessing, breaking bread with you. And it's just been a blessing all the way around today. And so Acts chapter number 18, I do want to bow in a word of prayer briefly, and then we are going to summarize some things, and we will bring about the message. And the title of the message tonight is Paul's Early Ministry in Corinth. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Father, I pray that you would help us to just take things step by step tonight, as you would have us, line upon line, precept upon precept. This is a brand new service going in a totally different direction. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use me tonight to be a blessing to those that are here, those watching on Facebook, and possibly even listening online on our webpage. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Here we have Paul on one of his missionary trips. And he had four main trips, most believe. And here in Acts 18, at the beginning part of Acts 18, he arrives at Corinth. And so this is his second missionary journey. And it lasted about 3 years. He stays here in the Corinth part of his journey for 18 months, and then he leaves and he goes over toward Syria. And I want to say that the time spent here at Corinth was a productive time. It was productive. Although his stay there was only about 18 months, it was certainly productive. And you know, tonight, as I'm thinking about productivity, it makes all the difference in the world following where the Lord leads, because he can use somebody to do a big work in a small amount of time, or he can use you and I to do a different kind of work over a large space of time. All that matters is that we know where he wants us to be. And so we see that here, that it was a productive time. Of course, his time here at Corinth, it came with his challenges, and it was certainly a great learning curve for the relative new missionary. Again, tonight, the title is Paul's Early Ministry in Corinth. And Paul experiences three different things early on in Corinth. And three different hats he wears, if I could say it that way. We see, first of all, Paul as a tent maker. Then secondly, we see Paul as a teacher. And then thirdly, we see Paul on trial. Paul on trial. And again, I want to do my best tonight. I don't know how far we'll get into this, but I just want to try to educate. I know you've read the account here before, but we just want to try to reiterate what you already know. And just mention some things about Paul on his in the early part of his missionary journey there in Corinth. And so first of all tonight, I want us to notice Paul the tent maker. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1 down through verse number 4 of Acts 18. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Husband and wife together working and serving the Lord. They were Christians. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So first of all, we see Paul the tent maker. And I want to say that in verse number 1, Paul is, he's coming from Athens. And he spent some time there. And while he was in Athens, there wasn't much persecution, although there was a little. If you notice in chapter 17, in verse number 18, he was called a babbler. A little bit of a tongue lashing there. Verse 18, chapter 17. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and Stoics encountered him and said, and some said, what will this babbler say? He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. So he was called a babbler. A little bit of a tongue lashing, not that bad. If you go over and you look in verse number 32, the Bible says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so he was called a babbler. He was called, or he was mocked. Just a little bit of light persecution. Not anything much there in Athens outside of that. There wasn't much results there at Athens either, although there were some who cleaved to the Lord. In verse number 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And so there was a trip there in Athens. And so he's coming from Athens to Corinth, chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and he came to Corinth. So now Paul is in Corinth. And while being in Corinth, he meets a couple of people. And it's a married couple named Aquila and Priscilla. Just in case you don't know, Aquila is the him and Priscilla is the her. Okay, to me those names kind of could go either way. But Aquila and Priscilla. And so Paul, he is tent making here, and he meets these two people that were also tent makers. Now, I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, that Aquila and Priscilla, they were Christians. We won't go there tonight, but if you go back and you look later on in Romans 16:3, it has their names mentioned there. 1 Corinthians 16:9, their names are mentioned there as well. So what are Aquila and Priscilla doing here in Corinth? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 2 that they were expelled from Rome. They were chased out of Rome, their homeland. They had to leave, verse number 2 again, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So they were expelled from Rome. They were Christians and they were tent makers. I want to say this, that not only Paul is coming from Athens and Paul is now in Corinth, but Paul is he himself working as a tent maker. Notice, if you would, verse number 3. And because he was of the same craft, He abode with them and wrought or worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And so Paul was a tent maker. Aquila and Priscilla, they were tent makers. All were believers, and all three made tents together. These tents in those days, they were made of different things. Some were made of leather, others goat's hair that was kind of spun into a cloth. But whatever material was made for these tents, it must have been a very tedious process. If you think about it, there was the finding of the material. And then there was the preparing of the material. There was the working of the raw materials into a finished product. And so it must have been a very tedious process. I don't know, and I'm certainly not making implication here that Paul felt this way, but I was thinking earlier while I was reviewing, Paul being an apostle, Paul being a preacher, and he's over here making tents. Now, we're going to get into a moment why he was making tents, but I just got to thinking possibly about my life and maybe some of you here tonight doing things in life and you kind of feel like it's mundane. You kind of feel like there should be something more to life. There's a higher calling. You know, I just want to say tonight that God only had Paul doing this for a temporary time. It was only temporary. And at this temporary moment, he met some good lifelong friends. I don't want to have such a tunnel vision that I'm thinking about down the road that I miss the blessings that God's doing now. You know, God may be doing something now, and I know he is because the Bible says he is. He is always working. But even if God has me behind the curtain and there's rehearsal going on in my life, I don't want to miss out on what God may be doing during that time. I want to take in every moment living for the Lord, whether it's at a happening place where things are really moving, or whether it's at a standstill place where nothing's happening. I just feel like that the Lord Jesus, he is constantly working all things together for good. And we have Paul as a tent maker here, and he has these friends, Aquila and Priscilla, and they would be there to support him through his whole entire ministry. You never know the kind of friends, good lifelong friends, you'll meet in some of the oddest places. There's been times where things have been a standstill in my life, my family's life, and I can remember working over at Georgia Tech. Now, don't nobody boo right there. Come on now, because GT does stand for God's team. But anyway, God's team. But I can remember, I worked there for 11 months. We wanted to be in the ministry, and after 11 months in, we got our call to our first church. But I can remember I remember working there and going to Atlanta every day, and man, it was $5 to park every day. It was $25 a week. And if they had a function going on, like if the Georgia Tech swim team was competing, they were there before dawn, and there was nowhere to park, and you had to park down an alley somewhere. I mean, it was dangerous. And I can remember going in there. I was a GSM, guest services manager. And so I was looking for my desk and my phone and my computers. They handed me a cell phone and some loose clothes and said, I want you to run up and down three floors all day across campus, running errands and making deliveries and setting up rooms and stuff. Okay. I was fit then, I will say, much more than I am now. But I met a guy named Cecilio. Man, he had a strong work ethic. And some days were harsh. Some days were, busy. The doors of the student center open and closed, they said, at least
at least 30,000 times one day. Up and open, close, open, close, open, close. And me and Cecilio, we worked side by side. And, you know, I just remember working with him, and the Lord just, you know, I know he was using me, but sometimes I wasn't sure to be a witness to him. And so eventually, to speed up this story, the Lord kind of changed gears. We took our first church. It was after 11 months of being there. And then, so I got ordained at Floyd Road to the pastorate. And I looked out in the parking lot, and here comes Cecilio, you know, him and his daughter. And, you know, all those years ago, even now in recent times, I can look on Facebook and see who watched or put a thumbs up. I know it sounds silly, but, you know, all those things. And Cecilio had been watching. And on the holidays, he'll text me and say, "Justin, my friend." He was of a Latin background and said, "Justin, my friend, I want to tell you I appreciate you. Keep preaching God's word." What a blessing that is to my heart, especially to see him coming to the ordination and see him still following along, following our church services along. Listen, I said that to say this. Let us not be in such a hurry to go on to the next phase of life. God is doing something now. And if he wants you to be a tent maker and stay put for a while, let him do it. He may have some relationships he is bringing together to be used down the road. So tonight we see Paul, and he was working as a tent maker. All three made tents together. They stayed together. Must have been a tedious process. So the question is, why is the apostle working? Why is he working? Well, at this particular point early on in the ministry, he worked in order for his meager needs to be met. You see, not only did he work for his needs to be met, but also that he wouldn't be burdensome to the people he preached to. He didn't want them to get the idea that he was in it for the money. He didn't want them to he wanted them to know that he was in it for their hearts and souls only, nothing else. That's why he works. That's why he did what he did. So he wouldn't be chargeable as an apostle. And so we see that Paul here, he is working as a tent maker. I tell you tonight, my hat goes off and my glasses go off to those bivocational pastors and preachers, to those who work and punch a time clock and leave and go and pastor a church. And listen, my hat goes off to them. I can remember our first church, we did the same thing and worked a little and pastored and all of that. Man, listen, it is a full-time job to pastor. And to be able to do it full-time provided by the church is a tremendous blessing. And but nonetheless, we have Paul here, and he's working. He's working. And so not only do we see Paul is working as a tent maker, but we see Paul is accomplishing. He's accomplishing. Verse number 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So he wasn't just working on tents. He wasn't just spinning his wheels. Paul was, he was reaching. He was reaching others by his preaching on Sunday. And so I can remember when I surrendered my call to preach, and I by no means compare myself to this man here, Paul. No way, no how. But I can remember coming down and telling Brother Berman, I feel like God is calling me to preach. And I said, but I got a problem. I just don't know how I can work a job and preach at the same time, you know. And I just trying to figure it all out. You know, I felt like that I had to just stay in a room and study 24/7 in order, you know what I'm saying, and in order to have a message and all those things. And I remember he said, well, son, he said, Billy Sunday worked and preached. He said, Billy Sunday worked and preached. If God's calling you to preach, he'll make a way for you to preach and work, do whatever you need to do. And so I was concerned with that. And certainly God makes ways to get things done when he calls you to do something. But nevertheless, Paul was preaching while he was working. While he was working. And so that's the blessing tonight. And so as we look at Paul's early ministry in Corinth, first of all, we see Paul, the tent maker. I want to go a step further and look at Paul, the teacher. Paul, the teacher. Now, notice if you would in verse number 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there in Corinth, that is, a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul the teacher. Paul the teacher. Let me just jump right into this. In verse number 5, we see Silas and Timothy coming along. Silas and Timothy are arriving in Corinth, coming from Berea, which was part of Macedonia. They came, I believe, and most believe, they came to minister to the needs of Paul so he wouldn't have to work. He could focus on the gospel and preaching. And so that's what we have in verse number 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia or Berea, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And so not only we have Silas and Timothy arriving, but Paul was pressed in the spirit when they came. What's going on now? He was pressed in the spirit. I want to say when the Bible mentions he was pressed in the spirit, I believe it was in connection of two things. This is in connection with the ministering of the word, because the Bible says Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified. So God pressed him in the spirit to preach. And we said that he wasn't just spinning his wheels. He was preaching. He was pressed in the spirit and he testified to the Jews. He preached. But not only this pressing in the spirit had to do, and it was in connection with ministering the word, but I believe it also had something to do with Silas and Timothy coming to provide for Paul's needs so he could go preaching and leave tent making. He was pressed in the spirit. Silas and Timotheus came, and Paul was pressed in the spirit to preach, but also Paul was pressed in the spirit to continue preaching only. You see, when Silas and Timothy came, they were able to minister to his needs so Paul could put the tent making on pause and devote more time to preaching. Paul went from part-time ministry to full-time ministry here. What a blessing to be part of a part-time ministry or a full-time ministry. But these men came to minister to him. And so we see Paul was, he was then pressed in the spirit. But then in verse number 6, we see Paul's message was rejected by the Jews. verse number 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And so Paul's message, it was rejected by the Jews there. Rejection isn't a good feeling. Has anybody, you don't have to raise a hand, but has anybody ever felt rejected before? Terrible, terrible feeling of rejection. And here we have a man of God, and he worked on the side to provide us for his own meager needs. And then when his men came, he departed full time into the ministry only for his message to be rejected. It's a harsh thing when you reach out to people and you reach and they reject it. But you know, I've been in this long enough to know that if you're serving God and they're rejecting you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. Amen. You just keep on reaching out. You keep on serving the Lord. And I want to say, none of this will last in ministry if we don't keep that perspective. Paul, he had no idea other than the Lord Jesus telling Ananias the things that he would suffer entering into the ministry. You know what Paul said here? Verse number 6 again, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I'm clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. In other words, they didn't want to hear his preaching, and he says, y'all don't want to hear my preaching, I'm going somewhere else where they want to hear my preaching. What a blessing. You know, there's rejection in the ministry, there's rejection in life. But there comes a point in time, if you are always rejected in the ministry, always rejected at a place of service, always rejected at a job, and nothing is going the way that it should go, maybe it's time to just dust your feet off, shake off your raiment. Your blood's on your blood is on your hands. My hands are clean. You know, you can only help people so much. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And there are so many people that I'm thinking about right now that I cross paths with weekly that are out of church, that are away from God, that are playing church. And listen, I pray with them. I try to be encouraging to them. I try to do all these things, and still they're not coming to the Lord. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, and I want to tread lightly and say it as generically as I can. But there's been times where my heart has been truly burdened for a person. And I mean, just pray, 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 pray. But then there's times where that burden was just lifted. I didn't work that up. It's not out of frustration or anger. It's just that same burden that kept me up at night was no longer there. Now, does God want us to stop praying for one another? No. Men ought to always pray and not faint. But could it be if a burden is lifted from your heart and soul for praying for somebody, could it be that God is doing something in that, getting ready to do something in that situation, has already done something in that situation? And listen, I certainly don't want to get way out here on the deep end. But God does have a deadline. Amen? God has a deadline. Brother Justin, what's that deadline for a person? I don't know. I don't know what that deadline is. And he don't say in his word what that deadline is. He just wants us to pray, 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 pray. And I don't know how to otherwise explain the lifted burden from my heart when God removes a burden to pray for somebody. I still pray, but that burden has been relieved. Maybe they've crossed God's deadline. I don't know. God knows. God knows. And so there's friction here, and there came a place in time where Paul says, you don't want to hear me preach. I'm going to go over here to the Gentiles. Thank God they didn't listen to Paul's preaching. Because they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were engrafted in. We have a hope, we have a chance because of their rejecting of the gospel. Ain't no, it ain't good grammar, but ain't no telling what God is doing, amen? Ain't no telling, huh? Which way does it go, this way or that way? I don't know. Ain't no telling what God is doing. You know, we're not called to figure it out. We're just called to go out. And God will do great and mighty things now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so they rejected. And Paul said, I'm going this way. Well, look at verse number 7. He really didn't go that far. I mean, if I could break it down for you, he probably went about, if I had to guesstimate, about 10, 15, 20 steps away. Because the Bible says in verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus. I like that name. I don't know, I just do. One that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. It was adjacent to the synagogue. It was connected to the synagogue, so to speak. So Paul, he was ready to go, but he didn't go too far. Now, I know there probably was some fear there. He went, maybe he didn't feel like he should travel on open roads, and because of the ruckus he caused and all of that. Nonetheless, this man, Justus, he took Paul in. This was a safe house from him. I don't know, maybe it was something like this. Paul made a stirring over here, and he was walking out of the church, walking out here. Justus says, come here, Paul. Come here. They're trying to kill you, man. Get in here and stay a while. What's your name? I'm Justus. Justus? Yeah, Justus. I'm a Christian, so don't preach to me. Okay? He took Paul in. He took him in. Verse number 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. What a blessing that was. What a blessing. This was the house of Justus. Justus was here an unsung hero. He kept the man of God safe. He fed him, I believe. He possibly clothed him, allowed him to rest. Thank God for the justices of this world. Thank God of the justices in church who sees a man of God, sees a person in ministry that's exhausted, who's been rejected, and they would risk taking you in their lives and say, I will help you. Come over here. Let me minister to you. Thank God for the justices of this world. Kind of makes me think of the widow woman there in the Old Testament when God called Elijah from the brook. It dried up, went to Zarephath. This widow woman was there, had her last little bit of food, getting ready to feed her son, and they were going to die. And the man of God said, give me first. And when she did, he ate, they ate, and the barrel of meal did not waste. Thank God for those unlikely people who God will use to sustain you, not any kind of anything negative or stigma upon widows. Hey, we just honored our widows and widowers this morning. But what I'm saying is God can take somebody, Brother Ceylon, least likely, no income, no resources, and take that and bless you at your dry spot. At the place in life where you feel like you get ready to crawl up, find a juniper tree to crawl up under and just die. God has a way of bringing his blessings around. And I just want to thank God for the Aquilas tonight, for the Priscillas. I want to thank God for the Justices tonight, those who stick with you through the thick and the thin. What a blessing tonight to know of this man, Justus. And so we see that Justus' house was adjacent to the synagogue. This was a dangerous spot for Paul to be, yet justice took him in and kept him safe. Now, let me mention something else. Verse number 8, we not only see a man named Justice, but now we see a man named Crispus. Ain't that a play on words? Justice Crispus. I ain't going to tell you what I thought when I read the name Crispus, okay? Okay, it's very carnal. Okay, I thought about Cocoa Krispies, okay? Now, y'all don't judge me tonight, okay? I'm trying to stay away from cereal, all right? Crispus. Cocoa Krispies. Sounds alike, don't it? Hey, y'all need to go home and eat a bowl of cereal. Come on now. Be happy. Okay, Crispus. What is it with Crispus? Well, he was a chief ruler of the synagogue that believed, and his household, and other Corinthians. Look here at verse number 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. What a blessing. Much like the Philippian jailer, he got saved, and it not only affected him, his salvation affected others. One by one, the Philippian jailer's household would get saved. It's not household salvation because the Philippian jailer got saved. They all got saved. No, it was him getting saved, and then it affected their life in a positive way, and one by one, they got saved. Same thing tonight as we look at these verses. Crispus got saved, and one by one, it started affecting everybody in the household. Listen, when Jesus is in the house, it will affect the people in the house. Amen? What a blessing tonight when Jesus is in the house. And so we see that here in verse number 8. But not only his household got saved, but many of the Corinthians got saved. Wow. Talking about revival at the house, coming out of the house, affecting the community. You want to know how revival start tonight? I'll just tell you, revival start in the house, in the home place. If mom and dad will get right, and the kids will get right, if everybody will get right, it will go out to the communities, infect everybody. What a blessing. Our hope isn't in the White House. We know our hope is in the church house, but also the hope is in our house, getting ourselves right. What a blessing. Well, there's just too much here to preach tonight. Crispus, he believed in his household and others. I want to say something else very important about this verse. Verse number 8, notice. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogues, all right, believed on the Lord with all his house and many of the Christians hearing. Notice this. Believed and were baptized. Notice the order. Belief first, baptism second. All right. Our Church of Christ friends believe that water baptism is essential for salvation. Not so. We could go to places in Scripture. We know that the thief on the cross, he was not baptized. In another place, Paul says, I did not come to baptize, I came to preach. So we see that this is something we don't need to get out of order. You believe first, accept Jesus first, and then you publicly profess. Just something little there I wanted to bring out. Again, that particular reference verse is in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And so we see that there in verse number 8, Crispus, chief ruler of the synagogue, believed. But then, hurriedly, verse number 9 through 11, we have the Lord speaking to Paul. Verse number 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. God knew there was fear in the heart of Paul. Everybody's entitled to what they want to think, but I believe Jesus was handling something here in the life of Paul. He was a relative new missionary. He was rejected. It started with name calling in Athens, and early on here in Corinth, his message was rejected. He was hiding for his life. The Bible doesn't say, Paul was in fear, but Jesus says, Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night, in a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows how we feel? Aren't you glad that he can speak peace to us in the night seasons? And listen, he tells Paul, don't be afraid, Paul. And you know, later on, who Paul says not to be afraid to? A young preacher boy comes up named Timothy. Paul's been in it a while. He's got some experience. He's learned to walk by faith and trust God. He says, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and sound mind. Love, power, and a sound mind. Paul was able to pass that along. And so we see that God spoke to him. Listen, verse number 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. God was saying, Paul, you may feel like you're alone, but there's others like you here. You may feel like you're alone preaching and on the run, a spiritual fugitive from the enemy. You may feel like you're alone, but for I have much people in this city. It reminds me of Elijah when he felt like he was the only one. And then God reminded him quickly, he has a whole lot more. Sometimes we feel like we're alone in ministry. I was teaching chapel last Wednesday. We kind of bumped over this in the lesson. Talked about, I believe it was Joash, seller of oil, how he was selling oil, and he kept the oil in the cellar, and must have been a lonely time, could have been a lonely time. Sometimes it's lonely living for Jesus because we're doing what's right. Now, I didn't say you don't have joy living for Jesus. I didn't say you don't have peace or power living for Jesus. But when everybody over here is quitting on life, is drugging and drinking and partying and living it up, and you're over here with your Bible in your hand asking God for a touch just to walk a little bit straighter each day, sometimes you'll find yourself walking alone because there's not a whole lot. But it is the blessed life to live, the only life to live, the Christian life. And so the Lord says, Paul, I'm with you. I have much people here. Thank God for that. Thank God for the people that are in our life that are Christians as well. Now, we want to bring this thing to a close. And I'll give a verse of invitation here in just a moment if someone needs to come. But verse number 9 and 10, we see that the Lord spoke to Paul. And then we see in verse number 11, the Bible says, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, if you look down at verse number 18, the Bible says, and Paul after this, verse number 12 through 17 is Paul on trial, a brief trial, but verse number 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in the Syrentia, for he had a vow. And so 18 months-ish, stayed a little longer after trial, and then he left. The message tonight is just simply this. And actually, it was an educational lesson, Paul's early ministry in Corinth. But I believe even looking at Paul in his journeys, we can still glean, can't we? We can still receive some things from the Lord. And I hope God spoke to your heart tonight as we looked at these three areas of his life there in Corinth. Tent maker, a teacher, and we may pick it up next Sunday night looking at Paul on trial. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. God, I pray tonight you'll take the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. And Father, may we all glean from it and just know that you're in charge. And God, help us keep wrestling in our faith, believing you, Lord, that your hand is there. We know it is. But Father, help us continue. Sharpen our faith. And Father, we just love you for today. We thank you. Bring us to our homes safely tonight and to the workplace, to school safely tomorrow, whatever it is. Everybody's going and back here safely on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you want to come pray about something, you come. You come. Feel free as we play. All right. Well, we appreciate you being here tonight. Hope you got something from the Word. Miss Mary? Share it. Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, Miss Mary, yes, he is. I know others didn't hear that, but Mary Kelly, she just wants to give praise to God for an answered prayer. God coming through right on time. Thank you for that. Miss Cece, go ahead. I think I know what you're going to share.
You know, you keep saying our children.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Grandson Jackson got saved.
Hey.
Wow. Yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. God is working. God is working. We do have some down here praying, and so we're going to extend the invitation and the service for just a moment. If you need to come pray, you come. Or if you like to testify, if there's something on your heart, you know, from the Lord, be a good time for that while these are praying, finishing up. Praise the Lord. God's good. It's good. And Miss Glenda, go ahead. Amen to that. Miss Glenda requesting prayer for her brother Tandy, shoulder surgery coming up, and she's just giving praise for her salvation. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, it's been good to be here today,
And thank you so much for coming. Appreciate our visitors being with us tonight. And absolutely, so, hope you received a blessing. Miss? Okay. Yep. If you're going to eat during Jubilee, please sign up for that, and we'll ask that you bring a dessert as well. That will be help. That will be a great help to us. So sign up over there for that. All right. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a great week. Brother Randy, would you close us out in prayer? Yeah. Amen. You're at liberty to go. Be safe.